What happens when even hearing the name Jesus makes you sick to your stomach? Coming up next on this edition of The Right Stuff. Showcasing Christian authors from all over the world. England, Canada, India, Thailand, UK, USA. It's Tuesday night, and this is The Right Stuff. With your host, the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J. Cole. Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. Queen of Tuesday Nights is here. Thank you so much for joining me. You know, this month is the month of October, and it's usually dedicated to everything dark and demonic. But this month, like I have been doing now for the past several years, we're showcasing Christian authors that use dark fiction and bring a Christian worldview to it. And today's show kicks it off with the book Aversion. It's a novella by Nate Allen, and Aversion lives up to its premise. He doesn't even say it, even as he thinks that he gets sick, and he has this aversion to the name of Jesus. What is that all about? I can't wait to tell you some of the details in just a few moments. I want to thank all of you for your support of Right Stuff, for our new patrons that have signed up this month. I want to also thank our corporate sponsor, Christian Book Club, for their support. To know more about Christian Book Club, go to christianbookclub.net and find out how they can help you build your readership. And we want to thank our partner, Radio App, an app dedicated solely to uploading Christian books that serve the Most High. In whatever genre it's in, go to radioapp.com to find out how you can upload your books and also get paid royalties every time someone buys a book from this app. This show is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking any questions or comments today. Make sure you gather your friends and family to listen into this insightful conversation, Aversion by Nate Allen, available at Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
Hi, my name is Kevin Newsom, and I am the host of the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast. I am an author, musician, and worship pastor. On my podcast, we talk art and entertainment in all its forms, music, writing, movies, art, and more. Join us each week as we wrestle with two questions. What is the Christian artist's responsibility when creating art? And what is the Christian consumer's responsibility when consuming art? You'll find the Christian Arts and Entertainment Podcast on your favorite podcast platform and in full video on YouTube. Go to www.pressepic.com for more information. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and in your podcast app, and I'll see you soon.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very glad you're here with me today. All month, we will be showcasing authors who use dark fiction and put a Christian worldview spin on it. Crossover Lion says, the light shines brighter in the darkness. And we shouldn't shy away from these avenues of dark fiction, because there are some people who actually revel in the dark. And what if we were to meet them there in the dark, where they think God's light cannot reach, and find that God was always there. This is sort of a subtle hint to what's happening in the book Aversion. It's available on Amazon.com. So what I want to do is definitely bring Nate onto the show right now to discuss his book as well as some other things. So, Nate, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me again, Parker.
I am so glad you're here with me today. You know, I'm a fan of yours. You know, I definitely enjoy your work. And this is just no different as we talk about aversion. Again, I love even the cover of this book because you see stairs and this darkness. And you're like, oh, my gosh. And for me, basements are terrifying. I'm so glad I don't have a basement now. I had a basement in my first house. I don't have a basement now. So I feel quite grateful not to have a basement. And, of course, I don't know if you saw my post I put on Facebook. I was watching the movie Crawl with the alligator movie. They were in this massive crawl space for most of the movie. And I'm thinking to myself, why do you even have one? You know, why is this even here? You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
Like, if you didn't have that big old crawl space, you wouldn't have alligators there. But what do I know? But, yeah, I'm really excited to talk about aversion and your writing as well. And I want people to be reintroduced to you. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
I write dark Christian fiction. It's very overt. Shines the light of Christ. It does it using sometimes uncomfortable scenarios. I do have a tendency to touch things that other people don't feel comfortable touching in writing, and I just feel that that's been my calling.
Everyone who writes and knows they're writing for the Lord does have a writing style and approach that does reach different parts of the kingdom. And one of the things that you said is that I write what someone else may not feel comfortable writing with. And like you said, you're writing dark things. So people feel as if Christians shouldn't write dark things. But I have always been of the opinion that you should write the story that's within you. And if that story is dark and you're able to show people the light within that darkness, why not write it? And particularly, some of the Christian authors I've had on the show who write dark fiction, they write it because they were in the dark, and they want others to know that you can get out of the dark. How does that relate to your own experience? So you could be as transparent as you want.
Well, you know, I think in the Christian walk, they want everything to be so clean. It's just like everywhere you go, you can't show your struggles because you're going to be judged for them. It's the same thing in writing. You have to almost put on this holiness, even if it's not what you're feeling. The real strength of a Christian walk is knowing that Christ walks with you through the good times and the bad, not just when everything's going well. My stories have come from a lot of different struggles I've had. A lot of it's come from losing my dad when I was 13. This story especially really kind of shines on that. How do you walk with God after you felt like he hasn't been there with you the whole time? I know it's an uncomfortable topic, and I know a lot of people wouldn't even agree that that's something that happens, but if you have it happen, then you, if you walk through it, you're like, well, maybe he didn't leave, but you felt alone. So this story is very personal because it's kind of where I'm at right now.
It reminds me of that poem, Footprints in the Sand, and how the guy talks about he had a dream that he was walking on the beach with the Lord, and how the Lord shows scenes of his life before him. And he said, how come at the lowest points in my life you would leave me? And at the end of that poem, which is beautiful, he said, my precious child, I love you and will never leave you. During the most difficult times in your life, it was then that I carried you. And that's why he only saw one set of footprints in the sand. And I was thinking about that as I was talking about you with aversion before we went live right now. And what's exciting about aversion is that it's not your typical at the end, everyone lives happily ever after. It's at the end, there is some closure, but this is a journey that doesn't end at the last page. And one of the things about aversion that I enjoyed was that it leaves me with a lot of questions, but it also left me strangely satisfied because you related to a person who may have experienced harsh things in their life. And even though Christ is in their life, those things still linger. Trauma lingers. And I don't know if you know about the science of it, Nate, but I guess new science is emerging that emotional trauma, just like physical trauma, leaves a scar. And emotional trauma leaves a scar on your brain. And I was blown away by this whole idea that you can have scarring on your brain for emotional trauma that can have a physical ramification. And the fact that you can have scars on your mind lets you know there are scars on your soul. You know how sometimes you have a scar that has that little red tenderness to it. And so I like the fact that in aversion, you don't end with a happily ever after. It's you end with, okay, this journey doesn't end here. It continues to go on. But there's hope. in a version that maybe a more contemporary story would not be able to capture. So let's go ahead and talk a little bit about a version here. What is our main character dealing with?
The story starts, he's right dead in the middle of a conversation of finding out that his wife has accepted Christ, and they both had been on a very religion-free road. And it's here that you discover that one of the main reasons for that is because he has an aversion to the name of Jesus Christ. Like, he can't say it, hear it, or he'll have these horrible panic attacks. The story is just about his journey. That same day he finds out that she's come to Christ, he has just this one image that flashes in his mind of these dark shadows leading down into this basement. It leads him on this journey of discovery that's pretty harrowing. It's a short read, but it's got a lot of power packed in it.
One thing that you mentioned was that in order to keep his family, he had to go down this road. Because, and this is something I liked about the beginning of the book, he knew that Jesus changed everything. When he even heard the name, he had this massive panic attack. Like, he couldn't breathe. He fell on the floor. Like, he was almost allergic to the name Jesus. And his wife's looking at him, and one of the things he knows in his narrative, as he's thinking things through, he's like, how well do you really know a person? And then he found out that his wife also had things that she hadn't told him. And so here they are, very close as a couple, still with secrets. And I think that was an important thing to bring up in aversion, because when you are having aversion to something, it's usually because there's something hidden beneath the surface, unless it's, you know, like an allergy. You know, like, you know, some people are allergic to nuts or something, you know. So it's nothing like that. So here you have two people who love each other very much. Obviously, he has a family, a boy and a girl. And then Jesus changes the picture. And he realizes that if I want to keep my family, I'm going to have to go down this road. Before, he didn't even say the name, and he didn't have the problem because he had been tucking it underneath the surface for so
long. Avoidance, like living, just avoiding it. But there comes a time you have to face those things head on. And none of us really want to, but God sometimes makes us face the things we try to avoid.
And I think he does it for our own good. He knew that life had changed from the moment Jesus entered the conversation. He knew right then and there it changed. And I think this is an important aspect of aversion, is that he had been avoiding the name Jesus for so long. But one thing I think this is also, in a sense, a warning to those who think they can live their life without Christ, can say, well, I never knew about you. God enters into your life and gives you the opportunity to know him. To get to know him, even if you're happy, let's say if you're happy, you don't have any trauma, which I'm very thankful for. If you don't have any trauma, thank the Lord. You know, if you're like an atheist or a non-believer or agnostic or whatever you want to call yourself, and you're happy, but God gives you so much more. And that's what this book actually showed. Even though they had their trauma, they were a happy couple. There's so much more that God's going to give you. Go ahead and expand on that for me, Nate.
We live in the day to day, but he sees the full scope of our life. He sees those things that keep us locked up. If he wants us to go to a new place, he has to make us face the things we don't want to face, because that's how you grow. That's one thing with like drug addiction or something, is people use that usually to avoid feeling pain. So it leaves them at a certain age or stuck at a certain place. And it isn't until they can get past that place that they find growth and they find some kind of healing. One of my favorite lines actually from the book is when he's talking to his daughter. She asked him what's wrong, and he said daddy got cut when he was 4, and it never healed. I think that's a pretty good way to look at it. Like, as a child, you can't really avoid them forever, because you're just going to be stuck at that age. No matter how old you grow, in your mind, you're always going to be that little 4-year-old who got hurt. God sees that, and he brings different things in our lives to help us move past and find progress forward. But it's a journey. Every day with Christ is a journey. None of it's not going to lead to just contentment. It's going to just lead to more things that he's trying to grow in you.
Hey, man, I'm actually going to read that segment here just so our listeners can get a taste of your writing. And he says, I want to tell her that daddy is scared of the monsters. I want to let the 4-year-old speak out. But my job as her father is to provide her protection. When daddy was little, he got a bad cut. Her eyes respond to those words with almost adult understanding. You know what happens when you don't treat a cut properly? It doesn't get better. She pauses. Can I see your cut, daddy? It's invisible. Her smile seems to say, silly daddy. a cut on the inside fee, you know, like when you get your feelings hurt. Yeah, like today. Touche, fee. Touche. Exactly. Daddy got his feelings hurt when he was 4 years old. And so that's just a quick excerpt from a version, again, available on Amazon.com. I actually found that particular part of a version really brilliant because anyone can understand when you get a cut. If you haven't been cut before, again, God bless you. But if you've been cut, especially a paper cut, and
lucky
a paper
person,
cut,
yeah.
I don't know, very lucky. You haven't fallen, hurt yourself at all. You know,
no trauma, no cuts.
But I was thinking about a paper cut, actually. And paper cuts, we always find them quite fascinating with paper cuts because they actually hurt worse if you were slashed with a knife almost, you know, because these paper cuts, they're so small and they don't even really bleed. That's the interesting thing. They don't really bleed unless you go deep enough, but they sometimes cut against the surface of your skin and they sting so bad. And I was thinking of that was the illustration you used in the story of this deep paper cut that he had. But unlike paper cut where the sting actually receded, it never receded, he just put it out of his mind. And he hears the name Jesus. He realizes, I need to find out why I'm having this aversion to the name Jesus. And another thing I liked in this story was that he initially wanted to resist finding out. And how is that resistance an important part of this character's journey, but also an important part of our lives when we resist the urges of Christ within our lives?
Again, I think it's the fear of the unknown. Like, he was happy where he was at. And often we can be happy where we're at. So he'll take us on a journey we sometimes don't want to go on, which is why the hardest prayer is, Lord, your will be done, because it's rarely what we want to go through. So that was why there was hesitance, because he was comfortable and he also knew he didn't really have much desire to revisit the name or a life where you would say that name. But he loves his wife and children enough to reassess and try for them, which I think is a very honorable thing to do anything to keep your family together.
I thought that was an important part of the story, too. And even his wife said, will you just try? She didn't actually commit, just try. And sometimes that is the step we need to just try to make it work, try to find out, try to dig deeper. I noticed that in Death Is Not the End, Daddy, and in Aversion, their main character is a man who's married, who has children. Does it kind of mirror your own family life here? Is that because, I hope I don't get too personal here, is that because you found your family to be a saving grace for yourself? Is that something that's just, you just do that because that's what you know? Tell us a little about that aspect of both of those stories.
Oh, yeah. What's interesting is when I wrote Death Is Not the End, Daddy, I did not have children. It was kind of like I guess what I imagined that relationship would be. And now that I have two daughters and I wrote Aversion and I was a stay-at-home dad for about 4 years, I know the routine and everything, but yeah, a lot of it borrows from my life. But you know, what's interesting is with every book you write, you see different stages that you're in. I'd always kind of imagined myself as a family man, but I liked writing a real relationship, a real marriage. Real marriages fight. Every day you have a chance to give up on each other or to keep fighting for each other. And that's it. The advice I give people. As I said, a marriage is done when one person stops crying.
Definitely can agree with you there. And for those of you listening, we are talking to Nate Allen. He is the author of the book Aversion. It's a novella available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. So make sure you go ahead. Pick up your copy today. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers, only to be told your themes are a bit too religious? We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
We're back with the Queen of Tuesday Night and her guest. Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Having such a great time talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Nate Allen. He is the author of the book, Aversion, available on Amazon.com. or wherever books are sold. This book is a wonderful tale that I think many of us will find relatable because it deals with a man who has an aversion to the name of Jesus Christ. However, as he begins to dig deep down and dirty into why he has this aversion, he comes across a particular episode of trauma. And people who have been traumatized understand that trauma can lead us to take defense actions against that trauma. And Nate, thank you again for joining me on the show as we continue to discuss the topic. Trauma, no matter what it is, whether it's abuse, whether it's betrayal, whether it's affairs or anything, whatever it is, trauma really does have an effect on us as people. And what we do in order to not deal with that trauma, we create some type of barrier so we don't have to experience it. This is also seen as a way of self-preservation, because sometimes trauma can be so gut-wrenching and hard that if we didn't have these barriers, we would probably break from the pressure. So in one sense, I think building up a self-defense against trauma is one way of God giving us the ability to deal with things that really, really hurt us. On the other hand, it becomes its own prison. So tell us a little bit about what you think about that.
Trauma makes us who we are. It grows you. It matures you. You know, if you're a kid who's gone through a lot, you're not going to relate to the kids your age. I had a grief therapist one time tell me that with my dad's illness and everything, that I was like, the kids my age were on the bunny hill and I just climbed K2. And it's pretty accurate. And that's kind of how I felt my whole life. Everybody kind of in my age group, you know, they've gone through those normal things. When you go through something that isn't ordinary and leaves you with lasting scars, you don't really fit. I think I said it in Death's Not the End, Eddie, that with grief or trauma, it leaves you. Like, let's say you're in a world of realism painting, and now you're an abstract painting to yourself. So everybody else has just normal features, but you have two eyes on one side of your head. Trauma also will determine who you end up with, how you handle things. I mean, it colors all parts of you. And it doesn't seem very often that Christ actually takes it away. He just walks with you through it. It's a tough thing to talk about just because there's no finality to it. It's very much an ongoing process.
There's a scene in Aversion, and it's not much of a spoiler, but basically there's a scene where he's in a church setting, and there are different people around him discussing the various traumas they've dealt with. And a couple of the characters in the session mentioned that people expect you to get over it. And I like that you actually put this scene in the book, because it calls for something in my heart that I've talked about on the show before, that grief is real. Grief does not have a time stamp on it. When you're dealing with grief, it may stay with you for the rest of your life. Yeah, the pain may ebb and flow. I know a young an author who was on this show a couple of weeks before he was on this show, his son sadly took his life, and he was really traumatized by that. And I told him, I said, literally, I was like, you do not have to be on the show. Take your time. He said, no, I want to. It gives me something else to think about. And we actually ended up having a very good show. And I still keep in contact with him. And this is about the same time it happened, around this time. I think the anniversary of his son's passing just passed. It's been 3 years. And I let him know that, hey, I am praying for you. I am thinking about you, because it's never going to go away. You know, that was his son.
No.
It's never going to go away, and the pain's not going to go away. And I think that was something that's important in the book Aversion, is that
aversion is an unhealthy way of dealing with trauma. At the same time, it does protect us for a moment, probably during the moment when we're there. But afterwards, it just becomes this unhealthy thing. That's what happened to our main character. Eric had aversion to Jesus, but he never really figured out why. He just didn't have anything to do with religion. He married a woman who didn't have anything to do with religion, and then she totally broke the contract. He even says it, you broke the contract. It was funny how they had this understanding to me before she became a follower of Christ, how they had that understanding. I don't even think they really fully vocalized it. It was just something that they understood together, and then he felt so betrayed by that. Tell us a little bit about that, Nate.
I think when you meet the person that you're really meant to be with, you have things that you understand that you don't have to say, and you almost understand each other's thought process a little bit on things. So I believe she absolutely kind of weighed the pros and cons, knowing how he would feel and even knowing how, if situations were different and he had done it to her, how she would feel. As what's revealed in the story, you understand that there's more to why she's almost been compelled or is being called to faith. The way he responds is fair, though, just because definitely makes you like the Bible says, unequally yoked. It takes away a lot of common ground or just puts you on in different places. He realizes that immediately and tries his best to find out why he has this aversion, to see if he can find a place where he can still be with her and even come to faith if possible. He first has to find out why. That's what the story is. Why and what comes after.
An interesting aspect too. I'm going to actually read that part. I like the way you said it. Why have you never told me? Her look of disbelief has changed to a long and thorough search. The scanning resumes. She shuffles across my eyes with hers, a cast of light looking for answers. It never came up. It wasn't important. It didn't apply to our lives. It was a perfect situation, but now it doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't, but it always happened. The first name, that J one, even the beginning of it, I react severely to it, B. I always have. So I avoid it. Her eyes are now sad. I think she's starting to picture the same thing happening in the next few weeks. A split home. What we're going to tell Fee. I want to ask her to choose me, as if this was a situation where I was allergic to a pet and I was given precedence over the animal. But I'm afraid I wouldn't be chosen. Her look tells me she's already made her decision. Something happened today, something I don't understand. My wife is different than she was. Some kind of confidence is with her, some kind of assurance that I can't match. She has found that thing we all look for, an epiphany that lights up the dim spots and paints everything with a clarity that has been missing. And that's, again, an excerpt from Aversion, available on Amazon.com. One of the things that I found unique about this book, too, is that on this journey, he is dealing with so many demons. And not just of the spiritual one, but internal demons. And that's what aversion does. It lets these demons, they don't actually escape. They just simply grow into more and more and more. And when we avoid things, it doesn't really go away. It starts to fester. And for him, it festered into these full-blown panic attacks that even the name of Jesus would just make him, he would lose it. Like, and you really went into a lot of detail of how this affected him, so you know it's not just something to sniff by, if you will. It really affected him. Yeah. And I was thinking about what people use as tactics to try to keep avoiding pain. But pain is a sign of reality. People are in pain. People will be in pain. People are coming or being out of pain. So pain is a part of reality, and not acknowledging that is also the same thing as getting allergic to something that's making you hurt. So we're going to go a little bit further in the book here, and he starts to look for answers. And I think this was one of the more traumatizing things of the story for him, because even though he had this trauma he couldn't quite remember, during one of his panic attacks, like you said earlier in the broadcast, he just sees these steps and shadows coming out the steps. And that freaks him out to no end. But then he's like, I have to go on this journey. I have to find out. It doesn't matter what happens. I can't continue to live like this. And I like how all this coincided when his wife accepted Christ, because Jesus does make that change within us. It's not always going to be this bright light. For him, it was opening darkness, if you will. It was opening up this pit it was opened up a pit there for him. And, of course, Nate, you don't think like a lot of people. which is a good thing because that's why your story is always so interesting. You know, you kind of go like, I am not conventional and I'm proud of it, right?
Yeah.
But I love it. He's starting to look for answers, but in looking for answers, he actually gets more questions. So tell us what happens as he's looking for answers to why he has the aversion to Jesus.
Answers get pretty, it gets to a point where it's almost like the question is, was it better that he knew? Because the answer is pretty terrible. But he keeps using his wife and his kids as tethers to hold on to, because he would rather just close the curtain again and avoid the name and not have to face something that he feels there's a reason he can't remember, or there's a reason he has an aversion, because his body doesn't want him remembering. It's really what he's doing is all for his family, which I think helps you root for him. And it's also kind of a sacrifice on his part, knowing I could stay where I'm at and lose what I have, or I can try to grow. Everything he finds out hurts greatly. You know, it's like drawing poison from a wound. You know, the initial process hurts, but then you're not better at the end, but you're not going to die from the
right. You're not dead.
You know.
You're hurting, and it hurts,
yeah.
And the antidote is stinging and making you writhe in pain, but you're still here. You kind of go,
yeah,
like, oh, gee, thanks. I know some people listening may go, oh, gee, thanks. And there's a scene in here that I absolutely love, because he realized when he starts to find these answers, the answers get more and more actually fractured. Because now he's like, okay, so he finds himself in this house in Wisconsin, which is a lovely town, by the way. He finds himself in Wisconsin, and he finds himself at this house. And this house is every scary house in every scary movie you've ever seen. And so it's there, and he finds himself there, but he starts to have this attack because he knows just about everything he needs to know is in this house there. And so he starts to kind of lose it again. And so he calls his wife and says, hey, you got to get here and get here now. I actually like that too, because it lets us know that if you're traumatized and you're having trauma, you don't have to fight on your own. You can have people reach out to help you. And I like that Brooke, his wife, understood that. And so I'm going to really quickly read another excerpt here, which is encapsulating this part here. And his 4-year-old daughter now is talking to his wife because he called her. And his daughter says, Daddy got a big cut when he was 4, Mommy. It didn't heal. The understanding my daughter has floors me. Even without giving permission, the 4-year-olds were talking to one another. And the 4-year-old that he's referring to is the 4-year-old inside of himself and his daughter who's also 4. And my 4-year-old daughter understood exactly what was being said. I'm hurt and I'm trying to get better. I rub my pointer finger and thumb at the corners of my eyes. I know you don't think I can. I can't guarantee anything right now. The house calls for me, B. Every time I look at it, it seems closer than before. I'm haunted, and I fear I'll be consumed long before you reach us. You will find me in a mad state while our children scream and cry, desperately trying to reach me. But I'll already be gone, trapped in the base. It's going to be okay, Eric. I love you. Her reassurance does little to reassure me. If I do get to the other side of this, it gives me hope for us. She's not one to give up easily, and neither am I. And that's another excerpt from Aversion, available on Amazon.com. And I read that part. I had to skip a little bit because I wanted to kind of get the context of what's going on without giving away any spoilers.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's at a point here where facing this trauma is so overwhelming. So he gets help. And if we were to end the show on that note, I think it's really important that we mention how important it is to get help. There are so many people walking around with open wounds that don't have to because they won't get help. They won't admit it. They won't deal with it. And because of that, they have this aversion to getting help, because getting help means reopening wounds. It means dealing with trauma and pain and memories that may help them. But I like in this book, he recognized that. And then even more, while he's dealing with that, the Lord helps him in a very unique way. And the way he helps him is literally by letting him fall asleep. And you may think,
yeah,
well, that's not a big deal, Parker. That's not a big deal, Nate. It is a big deal, because he was on the brink of losing it at this moment. Like, he's about to lose it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and go further into that, Nate.
That's also how I like writing. There's at times I've written very, very godly scenes, or they're almost awe-inspiring, some of the images that you'll see. But then there's other times that you see God in the smallest little thing. And I think these are the most convincing to people who don't believe in God. It's like the little things coincidences. Like he says, he's like, no coincidence has ever been so intentional. It was exactly what he needed at the moment, because I think his wife's over almost an hour away at that point. Yeah, he was completely breaking down, and just the idea of them all being able to sleep until she gets there is an answered prayer that he didn't even pray. And these are little things that are, I think, more convincing to somebody who doesn't believe. It's just like, that's exactly what I needed at that moment. Where did that come from? God works in every way. Like, I remember I was reading that book by Nabil Qureshi, Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. And he was actually talking about how God gave him a dream that coincided with an Arabic dream journal that his mom had that ended up warning him against the Arabic faith. So it was like God used what somebody would say, well, that's not a true book, but God used the imagery in it to warn him that, you know, he didn't know Christ, that the truth wasn't in him. I love how God works so far outside boxes. You know, we put him in little boxes, and he works in the mundane and in the great, in the whisper and the fire. He works in every way.
Yeah, I love that. And also when you talk about how he uses those small things, I had to go to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. And this is something that kind of happens toward the end of the book. And to be honest with you, it's not a spoiler at all, but he learns things about himself. And in learning those things about himself, he doesn't have like this huge moment of, oh, all is better and I won't ever feel this pain again. If anything, he learns that in exchange for pain, he gets peace. And that peace is not always something people quite understand. And as I was reading Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, and he said, I will give you rest. This was a perfect personification of this verse. He was about to lose it. He was on the brink of almost madness, I think, because of all this trauma that had been in his life. And the Lord said, I'll give you rest. And he gave him rest, literally. That gave him time to rejuvenate. That gave him time to break away from it. That gave him time to recuperate. And also gave him time for his wife to get there. So the Lord gave him that rest. And I can't help but think of how that would affect someone listening to what we're talking about. Are you looking to get rest from your trauma that you constantly avoid, but it's not going away? You know, and that's the thing about dark fiction that I hope you take away with this particular show today, is that you don't want to always say it's going to be light, bright, and starry skies. Sometimes, you know, I think dark fiction has that unique aspect of taking a survivor's story and telling it in real, raw ways in order to let you know that you can rest in the Lord even after having all this mess happen. And let me tell you, when you find out what he went through, you're actually surprised that he has done as well as he did, because it's a doozy. And even when he finds out in Nate Allen fashion, it just gets worse. So you're sitting there like, this poor man, not only has to do with this, he has to do with this, this, and this. And so it culminates into this very fantastic climax that has you on the edge of your seat. That's one thing Nate is good at doing, is keeping you on the edge of your seat. But it's also a very introspective story that I think anyone can relate to. So as we get ready to close our show for the end of the day, Nate, what are some other thoughts you want to share with us about aversion that you want our listeners to know?
You know, you can't let anybody tell you what your walk with Christ is, and you can't let anybody tell you that you haven't been hurt, because if they haven't walked in your shoes, they don't know found in him. And that even if there was a time when you felt like he wasn't there, which that's what I felt like, that's what I experienced, even though he was there, you know, he might've been carrying me. He wasn't there in the way I needed him, and it's affected me for years. He is not afraid of our dark places, and he's not afraid of our pain. And, you know, just think about a parent, like a parent that loves you, how you can just go up to them and crawl in their lap, and they'll give you rest. They'll give you love, you know, and then think about our ultimate parent, you know, God, where our parents pale in comparison to his love and his understanding. It's not easy. This life is not easy, but when you got Jesus, you have hope. And that's kind of what I want to leave you with, regardless of what you're going through.
Amen. I like that. And like I said, the story ends on a very introspective way, because he doesn't get, quote unquote, the happily ever after that we all would like to see. And that's one thing, Nate, that you kind of press upon, is that people think that, oh, all the pain is going to go away. It's not that the pain goes away. It gets alleviated, I think. Kind of like if you have a pressure on your chest and it gets alleviated, yeah. But you still feel the presence of it. You still have the memory of it. I know yeah. when I cut my hand years ago as a kid, I still remember it. It doesn't go away. Yes, I have a, yeah. yes, it, the pain is gone, but it's still scars there. I think of, like, right now I have a cut on my arm that I got when I was 12 years old from doing something extremely stupid. I won't tell you what it is, because then you think, Parker, something's wrong with you. but I got it when I was a kid, and it's still there. It's not, the scar is not as big as it was when I was a kid. But that scar is still there, and it'll always be there. I think that's okay. Sometimes, like you said, people want to put on a holy facade or a holy mask, and it's not always about that. Not that saying that we can't be holy, because the Lord is holy, so we're called to be holy, yes. But a lot of times Christians want to just have the good stories, the testimonies of triumph.
We're called to be holy, but we can't be naked. In a church, it's what I experienced growing up. Like, my parents, their relationship was pretty terrible. But in the church, they were like staples, because they just put on a face. But if you're real with people about what you're actually dealing with, a lot of the time you receive judgment. Like, it's not a place you're free to just be emotionally naked or even spiritually naked. Like, this is what I'm going through right now. This is, like, God is still good, yes, but my life is not in the greatest spot. You know, like, when you say those things and they're like, it changes the way they look at you. It might change the way they view you. That's even what we do with dark Christian fiction, is we try to shine lights on things that people don't really want to talk about, or they want to act like it's not there, because the presence of Christ should remove it. But that's not really true, because that's not even what he promised us. He said that this life will be hard, but that he'll walk with us through it.
Nate, thank you so much for being with me on the show today. Can't think of a better way to end the show here. Go ahead and real fast, give us your social media outlets. If we want to connect with you, we can.
Right now I have Facebook and Twitter.
So you can find me on Facebook and Twitter under Nate Allen. And thank you again, Nate, so much for being with me on the show. Thank you for allowing
the
Lord to use your dark fiction to show God's light. And you do that so effectively in Aversion and in Death Is Not the End, Daddy, which I think is your greatest book ever. And I think one of the best books of Christian fiction out there.
I won't ever top it. It's not going to happen. Yeah.
You know, and I was telling Nate, to our listeners, I was telling Nate, I think about his book off and on. Ever since I read it several months ago, I think about it off and on and off and on. I'm like, wow, that was really such a good book. And it stays with you. It's a book that stays with you, because the concepts are just amazing in there. So I really encourage you to pick up Death Is Not the End, Daddy, as well as Aversion on Amazon.com. Once again, Nate, thank you for being with us. And to our listeners out there, if you want to get your copy, make sure you do. Want to connect with Nate, make sure you do. And we are going to end this episode of The Right Stuff. Thank you for joining me. I'm the Queen, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.